just, yeah, important to say, hey, as we continue in our rhythm series, I mean, there's all of these are connected. You guys will, you will see that. Like, how is Bible and prayer connected? Well, we serve a God who communicates, right? Like, he communicates with us through the word. We communicate with him through prayer.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jordan Howell, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast.
Here we go.
Jordan, thanks for being here today.
Glad to be here.
You guys, most of our church might not know this, but yesterday was kind of a big day for Veritas Urbana.
Yeah.
And we stole you away for the morning, and then...
It wasn't planned, Urbana. It wasn't like, hey, let's move out of the school, and you guys do all the work.
So
and
you
then
probably had
up.
A whirlwind of a day yesterday.
A little bit.
You preached down here, three services in the morning, and then you jetted back up to Urbana, and you guys packed up the trailer at the school for the last time, right?
Yeah.
Love it. Well, Jordan... I always appreciate – seems like you've had the last couple prayer message rhythm series. Is that right?
I think so. And it's like – I don't know. Every time I see that on the preaching schedule, I'm like, do they think I'm really good at prayer? Or like this is always really humbling when I see that coming up. I'm like, man, this is convicting yet again. It's like – you know this. Officiating weddings.
Yeah.
It's like anytime you're like preparing a sermon, if you want to call it that, for –
Yep.
A wedding ceremony, and it's like, oh my goodness, I have so much room to grow as a husband.
Yeah, like, am I qualified?
Yeah, wait a second. So feel that all the time with prayer.
Yeah, but. That's sweet. Well, I loved just your approach yesterday and your message, just talking through, like, it's not enough to know we should pray or just to pray, like just willy-nilly go about it, right? Like, I think it was good to kind of zoom back and think through those categories you talked through, our motivation towards prayer, our mindset in prayer and our methods of prayer.
Yeah.
It was helpful to think through that. And kind of your, you know, your three pieces that fit into that, your three-part big idea,
yeah.
Maybe. Say
you
gotta
love it.
Three-point message. So you said, pray to be heard by God, not seen by others. Pray intentionally to enjoy God, not mechanically to appease God. And pray God-centered prayers, not self-centered prayers. Mm. So I was, I was really impacted by your message yesterday, super encouraged and thankful for the time that we got to have with you while the rest of your church up in Urbana moved buildings and got to settle into the new space. And you guys have a pretty sweet way to open up, kick off your building usage, right?
Three baptisms this upcoming Sunday, which will be sweet.
Praise God. Super sweet. Jordan, so first question with our Beyond the Message podcast, as always, if you had more time in your message to add or expand or include something else, what would that have been?
Definitely would have spent more time on fasting. I think that that's just is something I'm passionate about because it's something I had either missed or gotten wrong for so long. And I think the more I've looked at scripture and have even just considered like, what are spiritual rhythms? What are like spiritual disciplines we should practice? The whole like, when you fast, I'm like, this is something every Christian should be doing. And I never hear anybody talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I think on one hand, we're really ignorant and we're uninformed about it, but also it's really impactful. And so, I mean, a couple different texts, one that I was hoping to get to yesterday, but didn't because I saw that timer ticking down, is Matthew 9, right? You only have to flip a few pages over from where we were yesterday. And you see the disciples of John come to Jesus and they say, hey,
what verse are you starting with?
So Matthew 9, 14 and 15.
Okay, sweet.
Disciples of John come to Jesus and they say, why are we fasting? Why are the Pharisees fasting, but your disciples don't? Mm. And Jesus says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And so I'm sure I took this from somewhere. I'm really not that original. But this saying that if Jesus' presence warrants a feast, his absence warrants a fast.
Yeah.
And the word picture Jesus is drawing is not like new to us. Again, you talk about Ephesians 5, like Christ in the church, bride and bridegroom. He's like, hey, imagine this wedding day where like your bridegroom is there and then all of a sudden he's not, he's gone. And it's like, what else would – you wouldn't think to be like, okay, where's the appetizer platter?
Who's going
to
sub in?
Right. Like you're like, man, I feel an unrest within me, you know, and fasting is meant to be an expression of like, man, Jesus, come back. You know, like we need you. So Matthew 9 is a sweet text, another one that just says like, then they will fast. And it's like, we're there, right? Luke 2, this is the prophetess Anna, who is described here, be verses 36 and 37 in Luke 2. So there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And so it's like a description of her worship was fasting and prayer. It's like, this is one way that like we can be a worshiping people.
So it's saying she departed, like night and day she departed from the temple, fasting and praying.
She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. So it was like, yeah, she just found herself like rooted in the temple.
Yeah.
That's what she was doing. She was worshiping probably, with fasting and prayer.
Yeah. And then while she wasn't, she was also worshiping as well, being a prophetess.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So just, yeah, important to say, hey, as we continue in our rhythm series, I mean, there's all of these are connected. You guys will, you will see that. Like, how is Bible and prayer connected? Well, we serve a God who communicates, right? Like, he communicates with us through the word. We communicate with him through prayer. How is, you know, fasting and prayer and worship connected? Well, look at the prophetess Anna. Like, she was worshiping. How was she doing that? Well, she was in the temple, you know, but also she was worshiping with fasting and prayer. So it's like all of these are intertwined, which is important for us to see. So yeah, would love to spend more time on fasting if I could.
I love, I mean, I think even to just the call out that you had yesterday about counteracting new year, new me with new year, less of me, which really is like, I think a really, timely word for us as believers, just being that it's easy to make following Jesus easy when things are good.
Yeah.
And we really do need to have some intentional, now that I'm not downplaying anybody's hard life situations or anything like that, but it does seem to, once stuff goes back to status quo, it's kind of like, all right, good.
Right.
And so there is, I think, a specific call there of not to, the point isn't like self-denial for the sake of like just giving yourself a hard time, but it is the breaking of the, like, we are overly comfortable being comfortable in this world apart from being at home with the Lord.
Right.
And so we need to remind ourselves with some intentional self-denial to draw our eyes back to like what is truly good and what we should desire when we can settle for desiring lesser things.
Yeah. That's good. And yeah, obviously we see in Matthew 6 that we looked at yesterday, it's like one of the greatest issues is even in self-denial, we can be about self-promoting. And
yeah.
So it's like, how are we not just self-denying for the sake of self-promotion, but self-denying for the sake of our godliness and enjoying Jesus, you know? So yeah, important though, because as I said yesterday, as we talked about yesterday, like the root of prayerlessness is pride.
Right.
So it's like, how do we deal with that? Well, humility, right? Like pride is the answer to humility. What's humility look like? Denying yourself.
Right.
So
yeah. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God.
Yeah. Amen.
That's sweet. Anything else there on that first
That's
question?
Good.
Sweet. All right. So moving on, second question here. You quoted Donald Whitney in your message yesterday about how godliness comes through discipline. Do you have that, the full quote that you?
Yep. So
I wasn't fast enough to write it down. So
all good. I have never known a man or woman who came to spiritual maturity except through discipline. Godliness comes through discipline.
Yeah, sweet. So, Jordan, what are some prayer habits and disciplines that you've found fruitful in your life that may be an encouragement for us?
Yeah.
Not to, again, not to put you up on a pedestal.
Right. And, I was going to say.
But just more of like some, I think, practical encouragements and fruitfulness. So
yeah.
I'm sure you got some more.
Good disclaimer. Like, I don't currently do all of these, and I haven't always done all of these well, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of really practical things that we can do, and it's not a one size fits all, right?
The point isn't having like a blueprint of like all doing all of these things equals godliness.
Exactly.
It's like all of this stuff fits in the cornucopia of like, this glorifies God. Pick something.
Right.
Do it.
Find something that works for you.
Yeah.
You know, and the shoe that fits you might not fit everyone and every season. So,
I also don't know where I just pulled out cornucopia from.
I don't remember the last time I've heard that word used.
Probably Thanksgiving, like 10 years ago.
I was really proud of you in that moment. I was like, that's what I grew up hearing, a tier two word. That's a tier two word. So,
that's awesome. Sorry, back on track. Anyways, so some prayer habits,
rhythms,
that might be for
habits. One that I learned, goodness, probably about a decade ago, which was just mind blowing to me, is this idea of like, it was called praying in transition, or just praying like at times of the day where you feel a natural change of speed. Mm. And so it's like when you wake up, when you go to bed, three meals a day, and then before and after work, or like before and after you go to class.
Sure.
So, you know, when you wake up, when you go to bed, that's two. Three meals a day, that's five. And then before and after work, that's seven. It's like, that's a really easy way to pray seven times a day when a lot of people struggle to pray seven times a week.
Yeah.
And so even just thinking through, you know, it doesn't always need to be a great, you know, kumbaya moment marked by 15 minutes of silence and solitude. Like if you can do that, great. Like that is a great way to connect with the Lord in prayer, to have designated time set aside. But also it's like, can you maximize that 60-second to 3-minute window where you're in transition and you're like, man, how can I just be more intentional with this rather than just like scrolling my phone or mind, like letting my mind just wander?
Especially if you've been in the Word and you're meditating on something already, super easy of like, oh, this is like God's bringing to mind this scripture. I can pray this right now as I'm in this transition.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was another thing that I was thinking through in terms of a rhythm, is just like, make sure you're praying while you're reading your Bible. Like those two should go together. And I know Matt Hofert brought that up in his message of Bible, is like, hey, when you sit down with your Bible, pray. Like, and we've already talked about that on this podcast. We serve a God who communicates, which means he talks to us and we can talk to him.
Yep.
And so how can you pray as you're in the Word? And that's not just, hey, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to pray, like, God, show me what you want me to see. But even when you like struggle to understand what you're reading, like, God, I don't understand what you're saying in this passage. Like, can you, by the power of your Spirit, like, help me see what I'm supposed to see? Or maybe it's like, God, like, I'm struggling to figure out how can I apply this. Can you like enlighten the eyes of my heart? Show me my sin. Mm-hmm. Like, show me where I should be feeling conviction that I don't feel conviction yet. Like, these are simple prayers that are communicative in nature.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that just become more normal for us? So pray the Bible. One thing that I think we've done relatively well around Veritas is setting alarms to pray.
Yeah.
We've done that with 10:02, based on Luke 10, too, the opportunity to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to raise up more and more laborers.
Okay.
One that we're doing in Urbana right now, we've asked our people to set a 4 p.m. alarm, and that's based on Ephesians 4, an opportunity for us to like pray for unity in the church.
Yep.
And that's not like, oh, we have crazy disunity in the church, but the call in Ephesians 4 is like, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be eager about maintaining the unity of the Spirit, we should like continuously pray for unity in the church. So set an alarm. I think one guy that has done this really well in my life, his name is Kevin Jones. He works for the Illinois Baptist State Association. And shout out, Kevin. I know you'll never listen to this, but he and I connected when we were planning to go to DeKalb. And literally since the time I met him, he has texted me biweekly on a Sunday afternoon and has said, hey, how can I be praying for you? And sometimes you're like, man, this guy's really thoughtful. And it's like, no, he set a reminder on his phone.
Yep.
But it's like, that's a form of discipline, right? To just be like, oh, I'm going to set an alarm. And when my alarm or reminder goes off on my phone, I'm actually going to do something about it.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be that like clever or like thoughtful to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to like take action when your alarm goes off. Lastly, last thing I thought through is just like, man, having a prayer list, whether that's like, oh, in a notes app on your phone of people you're praying for or prayers that you've been praying, or if you're more methodical and you're like, man, I would really like to have categories like on Sunday, I pray for my church. On Monday, I pray for my connection group. On Tuesday, I pray for the elders of our church. On Wednesdays, I pray for the next generation. On Thursdays, I pray for unreached people groups. On Fridays, I pray for my family. On Saturday, I pray for my friends or my neighborhood. Like, you can pray through categories, and sometimes that's helpful as a family mm-hmm. when it's like, oh, it's this night. What are we praying for, you know? Or if you support missionaries overseas, to yep. be like, hey, tonight we're praying for fill in the blank, you know, yep. Jess and Jamie Schmidt. So have a list. And one thing that's fun with that is like you can look back and you can track like the faithfulness of God and you can see, oh, man, this is what we were praying back then. Like look how God provided, whether that was a clear and obvious yes or a yeah. clear and obvious no because he had something better. And it's like, this is awesome that we can like look back and see how God answered our
That's
prayers.
Literally, so. As you were just talking about that, I was feeling convicted of like, I do set reminders, but I'm quick to like delete or get rid of like why don't I just have another note that's answered prayer?
Yeah.
And then like revisit that of like, God, look at all this answered prayer of like all that you've done, man. Sorry guys. Just a little convicted here of like but I think even with that where it's like, I need the reminder, but then I also can like almost lean on that too much to like make it about the task
yeah.
in doing that. And like, but I think that's good. But then also like, do I need to have another reminder? Like, thank God, like pray to God and thank him for all of the answered prayers that like
that's good.
Come to mind.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's one of the like obvious dangers of having like reminders and
right.
for lack of a better word, like checklists. And I remember that when I taught Luke 10:2, but one of the last times I taught on prayer and was assigned, you know, prayers for the lost and or prayers for laborers. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like Luke 10:2, the word that like really messed me up was pray earnestly. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, how many times have I prayed at 10:02 and been disobedient to this text
yeah.
because I haven't prayed earnestly? I wasn't like begging God. I was like, oh yeah, God, raise up laborers like for your name, for your glory. Amen. But I'm like, that wasn't earnest.
A little flippantly.
Yeah. yeah. So yeah, there's obvious like,
right.
hey, proceed with caution. But I think if the Bible's true, and it is, and we are all sheep prone to stray, prone to leave the God we love, like, man, discipline requires like guardrails and yeah. reminders. So
yeah, that's good.
And then, yeah, one resource for you guys, if you're looking for something to just like maybe spur you on, Pray the Word with David Platt. He's a pastor. He's been a professor at seminaries as well.
That's a podcast, right?
Yeah. Pray the Word with David Platt. It's from radical.net, which is one of his websites, but
I think we'll link that in the
it's
show
a
notes
here. It's about a 5-minute daily podcast where he draws from his Bible reading plan. And one thing I love about it is he ends every one of those podcasts by praying for an unreached people group. And I think he uses Joshua Project, which is the unreached people of the day.
Yep.
And that's like who he prays for in his Praying the Word podcast. And so that's just another way that you can be spurred on to continue to pray for or begin to pray for unreached people groups and grow your heart for the nations. So
yeah. Sweet. That's really cool. The other thing, I mean, specifically on unreached people groups, shout out to Global Prayer that we host here third Sunday of the month upstairs in one of the gathering spaces. I think they might have moved to 201 now that it's open.
Yeah. I think they outgrew their last space, which is awesome.
So, that's love to have more people join in that praying for the nations and God to continue to move across our network and church planning and church strengthening efforts. So, sweet. Jordan, last question here for you. So how would you help someone implement fruitful rhythm of fasting? Like, where do you even start from square one on this? I know you gave some practical stuff yesterday, maybe like go the step further with each one of those.
Yeah. So we yesterday kind of talked through, hey, fasting, biblically speaking, is abstaining from food for the sake of seeking God, which means it's more than just not eating. And as a guy who cut a lot of weight for wrestling. I'm like, oh, I thought I had fasted a lot, you know, yeah. during my high school and college years. And it's like, no, you were just not eating. And yep. that is like, that might be fasting from a scientific standpoint, but it's not fasting from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, how can I be more intentional to say, not just what am I not doing, but what am I want more of my emphasis to be on what I am doing than what I'm not doing.
Yeah.
So to first and foremost, yes, choose what you're fasting from. And I would argue for most people, you should lean into the fact that when the Bible talks about fasting, it's talking about food. So
yeah.
if at all possible to fast from food, you're like denying yourself a basic human need, not just something that's like an add-on, right? So wherever possible to assume that you should fast from food. But there are people, you know, I bring up my wrestling background where I'm like, I also have a history of eating disorders. So there can be a wisdom principle to say, hey, don't place yourself in a precarious situation. If you are like diabetic or you have other health concerns, it's like, yeah, food might not be wise from you. Apply the principle of things that are good but distracting. Things like fasting from entertainment, fasting from your smartphone, fasting from caffeine. Those are all good things that you can fast from. But more importantly, yeah, identify what you're fasting for. And I would argue, you know, as often as you see fasting and prayer go hand in hand in scripture, it's like, let your fast be for the purpose of motivating your prayer life.
Yeah.
And with that, to do that intentionally, not just like on a whim, which means you have to be really thoughtful about when am I going to do this? So say it's a Sunday evening and you're looking at your week and you're saying, okay, when would be a good window for me to fast this week? And a principle, I know we talked about it in the Rhythms podcast that we recorded, but it's like just a good wisdom principle is like start where you're at. So if you've never done this before, it's probably not a good idea to be like, when's a good 72-hour window I can fast? Like choose one meal. And as you look at your week, it might be like, oh, I'm going to fast from breakfast on Saturday morning because I'm not at work. I'm at home, you know, I don't have a lot of like physical labor or like, you know, I don't have a lot competing for my time. So I can actually be intentional with what was breakfast time to be praying. Or if you look at a 24-hour window to say, okay, where is a good window for me to actually be intentional with replacing the mealtime with prayer? And then to say, okay, now that I know the window that I'm doing this in, I know the meal I'm skipping, or I know the time frame that I'm, you know, withholding entertainment from myself, fill in the blank, to actually say, what do I want that 30 minutes? What do I want that hour to look like? And to not be like weird with you guys about it, but to actually like envision like what is that hour going to look like? Where am I going to be? What do I want to be bringing before the Lord? Do I have a list? Do I have a plan? And to actually go in with a plan, it's going to help you just be intentional and to maximize your fast so that you're not just doing it for the sake of not eating. You're doing it for the sake of seeking God. I think.
And you talked about yesterday too, even just the reactive and proactive. So even in planning out that time, like there might be something big in your life that you need to be reactively praying about, but then there also might God might have brought some things to mind of like, here's some proactive things that you should be praying about. So I think those categories were helpful too.
Sweet.
Just making that plan.
That's good. Yeah. And one thing that like, I don't think we talk about frequently, I think the book is A Praying Life by Paul Miller. Wonderful.
Paul E. Miller, I believe.
Probably it is in the bookstore.
We do have it in the bookstore.
One thing that I learned from him in that book, which has been a principle that has really like shaped me, is pray where your mind wanders. And it's the principle of like, you guys have all been there. You've been there with me, where you're praying and you go in with your plan, but then your mind is like over here and you're like, instead of talking to God, you're talking to yourself and you're like, all right, Jordan, get back on track. You're supposed to be praying about this. It's like, no, like your mind wandered off the, off your planned path. Now bring that before the Lord, right? So, as much as it's healthy and helpful to come in with a plan, if your mind wanders during that time, it's like pray where your mind wanders, bring that before the Lord, right? There's nothing that you can't pray to God about as your Father. So, just a helpful principle. Don't get so locked into your plan that you spend half of your time beating yourself up, being like, oh, I'm supposed to be praying for my family right now. Right. But all I can think about is the stress of my work. It's like, no, bring the stress of your work to the Lord and, you know, bring your anxieties.
Maybe there's some confession there.
Right.
Maybe there's, you know, some ownership that you need to be awoken to. Yeah.
So, yeah, pray where your mind wanders. And, yeah, I think my last maybe word of encouragement on fasting is like, man, the more you can work towards an extended period, I think the more you would likely get to the heart of fasting. I mean, the early church fasted twice a week. I believe it was Wednesdays and Fridays. But it's like, man, if you can work towards a 24-hour window, extend it beyond just like a meal, and actually like really start to feel hunger and dependence. It's like, man, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. It's like, man, to actually that God would so intentionally use like hunger to be like, man, that's meant to like stir my thought life and my affections to be like, I want to hunger for God the way I hunger for my next meal, that he would like speak to my heart through my stomach, you know?
Yeah.
So one way that I've done this, and again, don't use me as like the pinnacle, but like just one way that I've found it to be helpful, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eat an early supper the first night, begin your fast. One reason I've done that is like I don't sleep well when I'm really hungry. So it's like, oh, I got a meal on Wednesday night and then I woke up and I fasted from breakfast and lunch. And then I got home and I ate a late supper on Thursday night. But that Thursday night, like the breaking of the fast is also an expression of worship to be like, hey, praise God. Like we have a king. And, you know, to feast is also preparing yourself for the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? So God is not anti-feasting, but he does want us to fast, right? So how can I even break my fast in a way that's worshipful? That's something you can think through. So,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, a couple of things to note. I think we mentioned it from stage yesterday, but those we've got more than the two books that I think got mentioned in the bookstore. And the one that you, I think you actually sent it to me, was John Piper's A Hunger for God.
Yeah.
That looks super interesting. I thumbed through that a little bit.
It's rich. And, I mean, classic John Piper.
Yeah. Yeah. But we got kind of the gambit of books on prayer in the bookstore. And then we'll link a couple of those, but also have those available and got the hopefully the link works in the show notes for David Platt's Pray the Word podcast. So yeah, Jordan, super thankful for your time with us yesterday. Time to talk now. Just want to end with what you gave us yesterday, those three encouragements for our prayer mindset, motivation, or motivation, mindset, and method. So church, would this be true of us? Would we pray to be heard by God and not be seen by others? Would we pray intentionally to enjoy God, not mechanically to appease God? In church, would we pray God-centered prayers, not self-centered prayers? And would it all be for his glory?